Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, December 23rd, 2018. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is a day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word is that portion from Luke chapter 1. I'm just going to reread these verses once again. It starts off with Elizabeth's song. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In fact, just now, as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed, because the promises spoken to her from the Lord will be fulfilled. And now we come to Mary's song, which is sometimes called the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble state of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. For the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the aid of his servant, remembering his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, this is getting close to the end of Advent, right? Last Sunday in Advent, we have one more, Christmas Eve, the last time we worship in Advent, and then comes the birthday. We've been waiting all month long for this birthday. As a child, I started waiting for the next Christmas right after the first Christmas. I couldn't wait because that was amazing. See, all these presents come out of nowhere, had my name on it. You would expect Mary, after all this time of waiting, a special announcement. You would expect her to be waiting. Yeah, she was. You would expect Elizabeth to be waiting, and they were. But they're not waiting like a little kid by the name of Paul was waiting in Moline, Illinois. The waiting that they are having is far deeper. It's a remarkable faith that the word worked in this remarkable woman called Mary. Now, as I say that, I know that some of you who are lifelong Lutherans are saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What do you mean, remarkable woman, Mary? You know, we don't worship Mary. That's correct. You see, when God says his word, the Lutheran way is to not go one way or the other, just say what God says. And that is a really hard thing to do. At particular times in history, it's really hard to do. So here in all of world history, it's all coming to a head in this one little smack dab person of Jesus Christ being knit together in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It's an amazing thing. Every Christian theologian that I know of, that I have read, is amazed at God's incredible mercy in doing this wonderful thing for people. You can go to one extreme and say, oh, look how cool Mary is. She is so cool. She must be right up there with God. Jesus has got to listen to her because she's like a co-redeemer almost. God loves her so much. And they forget that Mary, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary was in need of a Savior, and her remarkable faith, she understood from the scriptures that the child in her was the Son of God who was going to grow up and save her.
Whoa.
And then you can go to the other side and say, well, Mary was just like normal Joe Schmo, and so who cares? We'll just toss her in the trash heap of history and just like anybody else. Both of those ways of handling the scriptures are wrong. Both of those ways should be thrown into the garbage and look at what God says. This is a remarkable woman. A remarkable faith that God worked in this remarkable woman. And it should give us pause to just, wow. Because this remarkable woman, when she is faced with this prospect, and she knows that God has said her child is going to be her savior. She said words that, when you look at them, well, it's remarkable because of her understanding. She understood the scriptures. When you read this part of God's word, you kind of think to yourself, Mary must have been using cheat sheets. She must have had her Bible open to all those Psalms that talk about the coming Messiah, because she uses words and phrases that are all over the Old Testament. That, my dear friends, is a testament to the faith that God worked in her. And that is also a testament to the shame that you and I should be feeling. Mary did not have a Bible in every pew. In those days, you know how they learned the scriptures? The parents sat down with their children and they taught them to learn God's word by heart. Not kind of by heart, not okay by heart. Exactly, word for word, letter for letter by heart. When you read Mary's Magnificat and you read the Psalms and the prophecies about her son, it's like a marriage. It's an amazing grasp of the scriptures that God had given to her. And shame on us for not knowing our Bibles that good. And you know, that kind of false pride of thinking that, well, I'm growing up in a Christian family, I'm growing up surrounded by Christians, I have Christian aunts and uncles, I go to a Christian church. That kind of false pride can hinder your growth. I remember when our synod asked me to write a curriculum for high schoolers based on the book of Revelation and the history of the New Testament church. I thought, well, you know, okay, no problem. So I opened up the book of Revelation, and I found out that the book of Revelation is a test. How well do you know your Old Testament? I'm telling you, I flunked. I could not believe how much I did not know about my Old Testament. Every time I went to study and prepare for this course, I found out that I was more sitting in a dunce with a dunce hat on, because I didn't even understand the littlest thing about God's Old Testament promises about the coming Messiah. I had gone through the seminary. I thought I could handle this. I found out that I had forgot the basic thing. When you're a Christian, you're a student. You're a student of God's word until God brings you safely into heaven. Mary, the remarkable faith that God worked in her, she was a student of God's word. And she showed that faith by putting it into practice. God told her something that was impossible, that she was going to conceive and bear a son. She said, that can't be. I know biology 101. I don't understand. How can this be? But you know what she finally said? When it was explained as good as it could be explained to her, she said, let it be to me as you have said. She put aside her knowledge of how much smart she knew. She put aside all the cultural things that she knew were going to be coming on her. She didn't argue. She said, all right, Lord, this is what you said. This is what I will do. Do we have that attitude when we go to God's word? When God says, love your enemies, do we say, well, no, not that person, because they really did me bad? Do we say, love one another except for, you know, I've been hurt too often by this one person and I'm not going to love that person anymore? God's love for us is limitless. God's mercy is limitless. And God had worked remarkable faith in this woman, and she understood that. When you read her song, you don't hear any notion about doing this or doing that or doing this, because she understood God's grace, his Abraham covenant, was what pushed his word. The Abraham covenant is what sent Jesus out of heaven into the manger. The Abraham covenant of grace and mercy, where God chose to love people that were unlovable. He chose to rescue people that rebelled against him. He chose to suffer and die on a cross so you and I could be in heaven. She had that remarkable faith that God had worked in her with his word. It's an incredible thing. And what else did she have? She had a remarkable faith that showed not just how she submitted to God, but how she talked. Yes, how she talked. What do you mean, how she talked? Did she talk with an accent? I don't know. But I know the manner in which she talked. Elizabeth said she was amazed that Mary was there because she knew what was going on inside of Mary. The Savior was there. And Mary praised God, but while she was praising God, she didn't do it quietly. She didn't go into a little room and shut the door and praise God. She praised God right to her friend, right to her relative, because her relative needed to be encouraged the same way that she was. Your faith is not a private matter. You are joined here together in a common faith of unity, of saying, God, you are the one. You're the one that I'm going to worship today. You're the one I'm going to make sure I understand a little bit more about today because of your incredible grace and mercy towards me. A remarkable faith was given to Mary, and she showed it in how she put her will underneath God, how she understood all the grasp of history up to that point, and how she put that love into practice into words shared with other people. Something that is kind of missing from Mary's deal, from her great Magnificat, is she does no comparing. She doesn't say to Mary, I'm better than you. You better talk nice to me so I can talk to my son on your behalf. She doesn't say that. She understands her place is a servant of God, and she understands Elizabeth's place is a servant of God. She understands that you're in my place. We are servants of the living God. There is no better place to be than to be a servant of the living God. Because he's got you covered, just like he had Mary covered. It's just like he had Elizabeth covered. God's grace that was extended to Mary is not something to ignore. It's not something to elevate to a co-redemptor kind of a place. It's not something to ignore. It's something to say, you know, God used Mary just like he used Esther. Just like he used Ruth, just like he used Noah and Mrs. Noah, and Adam and Eve, and King David. Just like the Lord used all of those people, so he made use of Mary so that you and I would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the remarkable faith of this remarkable woman. And that's why the Lord told her from now on, all people are going to call her blessed. She is blessed. She is blessed by God with his remarkable faith. She is blessed by God with a remarkable way of putting that faith into practice in her day-to-day life. So let's do the same. How are you doing at reading your Bibles? You know your New Testament pretty good? What about that Old Testament? What about praying? Do you keep your prayers to your family, to yourself, or do you pray aloud for your family? Do you say how cool God is because he put a little light dusting of snow on the earth around us here in Wisconsin today? Or do you complain about the weather? Or complain about your neighbor? Or complain about this? Or complain and grumble? The Lord, notice this, Mary has none of that. because she was focused on what God was doing for her. That's a great, great Advent blessing from a great and generous God who created a great, remarkable faith in this woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So let us live. Amen.